see all of you here. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Trust you've had a good rest in the Lord this afternoon. Find the time not to be so busy. And enjoying fellowship with the Lord is important. Genesis chapter 11. We'll get straight into the Word of God. Don't forget Wednesday night, we kick off our Bible club, 6:30. And the kids will be bringing in, coming in and picking up their coins. So bring you some coins to give them about. So they put in the can up here when they come in. So they can start getting ready for summer camp again. Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9 this evening. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to the another, "Go to, let us make a brick, and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make a name. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men had builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down there, confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now, this is commonly known as the story of the Tower of Babel. This chapter in Genesis tells us of an event almost 150 years after the flood. That's about the time frame. So it didn't take long after the flood until man was back at its old ways again. No doubt, Satan had a big push in this as well, as he did in Genesis. Once you come down, you know, in chapter 1 and 2, whenever he approached Adam and Eve he's always trying to usurp the authority of God and cause the human heart to follow after the wickedness that it is accustomed to. For the heart is wicked above all who could know it. So we have to guard our hearts and guard our minds and guard ourselves from different things that would lead us astray. Ham's grandson, Nimrod, is the one who propagated this here rebellion against God. If you would, look with me over in Romans chapter 1 real quick. Romans chapter 1. The visitors that's here with us, we have been studying through the book of Genesis, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And so this is where we find ourselves tonight, Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, you notice here, it provides a very graphic description of what happened to mankind when we're left to ourselves and we follow our own ways. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So that they were without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto a corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto a vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which was against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burdened their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which was unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things were worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now we're talking 150 years after the flood. You don't think they didn't understand the judgment of God at this time? And this is the grandson of Ham. His great-grandfather was Noah. And they did not want to retain the knowledge of God in their mind. And this here is written in Romans chapter number 1, way after that. But we're talking 150 years. And here they go. Let us make us a name. Let us become great in our own eyes. Let us, reach to heavens by our own means and our own ability there. And so Noah and his descendants, they left Ararat. They settled in this area known as Mesopotamia in verse number 1. There at this point, all of the languages was as one. They could converse, they could talk with each other. They could spend time with each other. But God had given them a simple command. And that simple command was found in Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 1. And the Lord blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Not to settle the land of Shinar. Now some of them should have settled. But God's plan was that they would replenish the earth. Man's plan is to disobey and rebel against God. Man said, hey, here's a nice place to live. Here's a place that we can join ourselves together. And they found some, a brick climb. They had a mortar for slime, or maybe it was a tar pit of some sort, and began to make them a tower. They're going to make a name for themselves. Who are we to glorify? God. This happens in our day and age, dear friend. This isn't something new. When you start building your own kingdom, building your own little bitty, portion of earth, and it's to bring glory to what you do, you'll find yourself in big trouble. Big trouble. And this is what's amazing to me. Normally speaking, Brother Ray, this is what I find out in my life. God leads me to Galatians 6:7. Who can tell me there in Galatians 6:7? What does it say? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's where normally God leads me. But it's got bad at a couple of times that God had to come down and to investigate. And say, what's going on around here? And I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. When God comes and starts investigating, big trouble is fixing to happen. I mean, in other words, I believe when God comes and gets involved in the personal investigation of a situation, mercy has run out and judgment is at hand. There was a couple other times. Somebody help me. A couple other times in the Bible where God said, let's go down and see what's going on. Somebody help me. What was that? Adam and Eve. Come down normal in the cool of the day. God came down to see what had happened. He came to investigate. Adam, Eve, where are you at? The other one? Sodom and Gomorrah. Hey, what's going on down there? God came down to investigate. And judgment came. I tell you, this is 150 years after the great flood. What caused the problem? The imagination of man and his heart was continually on evil. So God had to, shrink down man, come down to eight people, Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their four wives. And now, here we go, and God's coming down to investigate. What happened? If they would have just simply did what God had commanded. God's command was to go on all the earth, replenish it. You remember I told you last week as we studied this, there was another time in the early part of Acts where God had to bring a Saul onto the scene, a man of righteous indignation. Thought he was doing God's will, and he was doing God's will. He scattered the church of Jerusalem to where he got out and did what it was supposed to do in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. What was the commandment in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Because after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power. And beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, you should preach the gospel. And that was God's plan. God's plan here. Replenish the entirety of the earth. Man's plan. Let's come together and let's do it our way. I'm telling you, doing it our way doesn't never get us too far. Always gets us into trouble, for sure. Gets us in much trouble. If you think about it here with me for a moment, go back to our text in Genesis chapter 11, 8, 9, and 10. Let's read this again. Chapter 11. Let's back up and let's read verses 3, 4, and 5. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, which top may reach into the heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Direct contrast to what God had told them to do. God even told them in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, what to do. Let us. You see, when we're rebelling, it doesn't just stop with just a little bit of glorification of self. It comes to the point where it wants to usurp God as God. Whose plan was that? Lucifer himself. Lucifer himself said, lest we be scattered abroad on the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men building. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained for them which they have imagined to do. They said, let us, instead of systematically going about and making little colonies and little places to live, they said, let's just all come together. Sound like a good plan, didn't it? We'll come together. Almost you had your first dictator, didn't you, right here? Nimrod, see, he come up with a good plan and gets everybody to buy into it, and that good plan sounds good. Well, he's the dictator. He's the one that's getting the glorification. He's the mighty hunter, the valiant one that come up with this plan, and he gets everybody to follow him, and then all of a sudden, without any, without any thinking, in this leadership of rebellion, they begin to establish this here city or this tower, and it's almost a communist regime, isn't it? We think communism is new. It's not, dear friend. This whole thought, wicked Babylonian worship has come. This is where it started. All this here started, this here system of rebellion against God's plan. The city was to live in. The tower was a place to worship in. Hey, listen, God's a God of spirit and truth. If you don't worship Him, you're going to worship Him in spirit and truth. God desires worship. It wasn't God that God was against them worshiping. God stood up. He told, he showed Adam and Eve when they sinned and they covered themselves with fig leaves. He showed them a proper way of worship. He taught worship. When Cain and Abel came and they brought an offering of worship. One was acceptable, one was not. God didn't just strike Cain down immediately. You know what he tried to do? He tried to instruct Cain and to show Cain, listen, Cain, if you will do right, you will be accepted also. See, we have to do what is right in the eyes of God, not that which is right in our eyes. Because the Judges is full of folks that wanted to do that which is right in their own eyes. And so they willingly disobeyed God. Let us make a name for ourselves. There's one name that should be glorified in all that we do. And listen, we can do it now, or at the time appointed, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is the sovereign God of the universe. Now, man's pride always leads us to do things like what we see here. But you understand something? Just because you stand in rebellion and stand in your own pride does not mean that you're going to change God's mind on what He wants. He had given a commandment, and His commandment was to be followed. They said, let's do this so we won't be scattered. What was the end result? They were scattered. Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach. And I want you to tell the people at Nineveh that they need to repent. I'm not going. No, sir, indeed, I'm not going. He bought him a ticket, headed the opposite direction, got swallowed up by a big old whale, and spent 3 days in the depths of the sea. Whenever he was spit back up on shore, what was God's plan? Go to Nineveh. Your rebellion, your pride, your own agenda is not going to change God's desire, God's plan. You're going to have to submit. You have to yield. The problem here we have is that everybody I see was everybody was speaking one language, one speech. They're all able to communicate. And when you get that many people communicating together and coming up with a plan and listening to the plan, listen, we can come up with some crazy ideas as humans. Real crazy ideas. We need to seek the voice of God and hear the voice of God. And listen, God had spoken His plan. God had already told them what He wanted to do. And He'd always put it out there and let them know what they should be doing. But no, they wanted to come up with their own way. I did a little research. Nimrod's religion, a tower, as you build there, was a tower. It was a religious way of worship. They could no longer serve God because they were in direct disobedience. Direct disobedience is going to lead you into some difficult times ahead. Look with me over at 1 Samuel real quick. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Look in verse number 22. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse number 22. When you're in direct disobedience or rebellion to God, dear friend, you can call yourself in service to God and you're doing it in service. You are doing it for selfish reason and for your own self. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and hath also rejected, and he hath also rejected thee from being king." That's what he told Saul. Because why? Saul went directly against the word of God. You go directly against the word of God, dear friend, and you're not in service for God. You're in this for your own self. And it leads to trouble and difficulty. It leads to heartache. It leads to pain. You can say what you want to do. It's, I'm going to do it my way. It's what I want to do. And it's how I see it. When the Lord has spoken, there's no challenging God. You're going to stand in your pride and challenge. You know, just be not deceived. God is not mocked. There's too many Christians standing up and saying, I'm just going to do it my way. Do it your way. But you'll do it without the protecting hand of God upon your life. You'll do it without God's help, and you'll reap what you have sowed, and it will be heartache and different. Don't get so far down the road that God Himself has to get involved. Because He can do a great work in the hearts and lives of people. And He can, matter of fact, Proverbs says the king's heart is in His hand. Turn it to wherever He wants. So you can get out there and you're begging, do what you want. And when God gets on the scene, dear friend, you're going to do exactly what it says. And it's going to be a little bit more difficult. It was a little bit more difficult for Jonah, wasn't it? To head over to Nineveh. Because now he had done been swimming around out there and spit up, Lord knows. No, didn't he tell him how far he'd gotten away? And he had to still get to Nineveh, didn't he? They still had to be scattered. They still had to go. The church of Jerusalem still had to preach the gospel to all creatures around the world. Just simply that. Now, this here thing with Nimrod, just a few ideas and we're going to get done with this. It appealed to the flesh, didn't it? Let us make us a name. Let us add to the worship. We'll get to heaven. We'll worship God in the way. And if you study it out and you look through it and you follow it along this mystery of Babylon, perversions of all kinds come out of it. They've taken astrology and they've added to it. For instance, Leo, the constellation, has become the king of heaven. Nimrod's mom, historians say, Semiramis, see if I pronounced that right, S-E-M-I-R-A-M-I-S. Semiramis, she has become the queen of heaven. Huh. There's a queen of heaven today in some religions, ain't there? There's a mother of God in some religions, aren't there? God didn't have no mother. God is from everlasting to everlasting. Look with me over in Jeremiah. Here's a reference from Jeremiah chapter 44. Jeremiah chapter 44. And let's look at verse number 15. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 15. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incenses unto the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done. We and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, for then the plenty of the victuals, and were well and saw no evil. The queen of heaven, it just keeps going, doesn't it? When you start going contrary to the worship of God in truth and in spirit, dear friend, it always leads to multiple gods. You know, it's a funny, strange thing about all these false and pagan gods. They have a little different name, but they seem to all do the same thing. But they're all created by the hands of man and the imaginations of man. Why is that? So we can control our own God. You know why we'll say there is no God? Because if we convince ourselves there is no God, then surely we will not answer to a God. You can convince yourself there is no God. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. But there is a God, and you will surely answer to God, just like Nimrod and those that built this tower. There was one language. God said, let's confound the language. God came down and he messed up their plan. And God's plan got busy to be done. Now here's a nice verse. Look with me over in Zephaniah. It's one of them hard ones to find back over in the smaller, minor prophets. Habakkuk, Zephaniah. If you get over there to Haggai and Zechariah, you've got to dig back up in the middle. But here's a verse that seems to promise that one day God's going to fix all this confusion that happened to Tower of Babel. Zephaniah chapter 3, look in verse number 9. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 9, for then will I turn to the people a pure language, one language, a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord and to serve him with one consent. So the problem back there was they wanted to use their language and their pride and their lift of self to do their own thing. But there's come today, it seems though, is that God's going to give us a pure language, a language of understanding, a language of one that we may all speak and glorify God with one language. So it seems to be. Perhaps it's not, perhaps it is, I'm not sure, but I do know this, that whenever in the book of Acts, when they were gathered there in the book of Acts, there were 17 different known cultures of groups of people that was there, and every one of them heard one man speak in their own language. That was the miracle. Wasn't the speaking of foreign and unknown, unintelligible tongues. It was the understanding of their own language spoke by one man there in Acts, in the book of Acts. And so Babel has been a proverb, a place of confusion, and this mystery Babylon that's spoken about in Revelation chapter 17 has brought about great confusion of worshiping the true and righteous and only holy sovereign God of the universe. Not many gods, not many ways. That's why you got these people running around here saying, well, you can get to God this way, you can get to God that way, all ways lead to God. I am the way. Not a bunch of ways over there. Now listen, I can pray standing up. I can pray sitting down. I can pray laying down. I can pray driving my car. I can pray swimming in the swimming pool, Brother Ray. I can pray out there hunting and fishing. But I'm going to pray through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which gives me access to the throne room of God. Amen. Not many different avenues when I'll pray through Leo, I'll pray through Semiresh, I'll pray through Baal, No, dear friend, you're going to pray through God's way, God's plan, and that's through access through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, giving us the wisdom and understanding how to pray by the Holy Spirit of God, which indwells and lives within us, and we're praying to the Heavenly Father. What confusion. 150 years after the flood. Well, we've come a long ways, haven't we? Can you see why the Holy Spirit told Paul to write in Romans chapter 1 what he wrote? If you don't retain God your knowledge, dear friend, you will mess things up. Churches that don't want to retain God their knowledge and go God's way end up in confusion. God's not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. And he's given us a great path to follow, the Holy Word of God. And he's preserved it for us. He's kept it for us. He's laid it before us. And he's given us an ability to understand it. Oh, Pastor, I can't quite figure that out. Dear friend, I tell you, get along with God. Meditate on that thing. And when God gives it to you, you'll know it. You will know it. So let's stand to our feet. It's 7:15. Kids got to get to school tomorrow morning. Teachers got to be there earlier than the kids. Bus drivers got to get there. We got a lot to pray for. A lot to pray for. Kids and teachers and safety. So we need to spend just a moment in prayer. Matter of fact, let's do it like this. Brother Hector, you open us in prayer. Pray God bless our week. Brother Josh, you go follow him. And then Brother David, you close us out and we'll get out of here tonight, okay? Pray God's blessing hand upon our schools and teachers and protection of our law enforcement and our military folks and our kids for sure.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to meet us again, Lord, to gather together with you, Father. I ask you, Lord, that place your hand in grace upon us, Lord. Take care of each and every one of us, Lord. This week, coming now, Lord, that each and every one of us can be about our vision, Father. Again, your word, Father, today, Father, in the future, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to be with all the students that go back to school, Lord. Teachers that I have to teach to them, Lord. With the crazy traffic that we have around here also, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to get an extra labor for every one of us, Lord, that we won't come back to that safety, Lord. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father,
thank
you for our church. Thank you for everyone that's here, everyone that is part of our family here, Lord.
Amen. You're dismissed, choir. Don't forget to come to your place.